I want to confess to you that for a number of years as a Christian, I had the wrong concept and the wrong idea about how things work. You see, I came to Jesus Christ and I accepted him as my Lord and my Savior, which for me was two different decisions. I made him my Savior in the 80s, and I didn't make him my Lord until the early 90s. And I wish they had both been one decision, but they weren't. And then even after I had made Jesus my Lord, I had the wrong idea about how God goes about things. For you see, what I understood was that God would make out this list. Maybe I need to tell you that some of you know I do have a problem with OCD. And that's in all seriousness, I do. I would not wish OCD on anyone because it will really, really drive your life. And if you don't know what OCD is, those of us who are OCD like to say that we're CDO, okay? Because you got to have all the letters in order to have OCD. Some of you will wake up and get that in a minute. But I see, I would see what would, my vision of how God did things was God did things by making out a list for me and giving me that list. And from that list, I would go out and I would do things on that list. And once I was able to check them off, I could bring the list back to God and I could say, see, I've done it. I've finished this list. Can you please give me another list? I learned that that's not the way God works. If that's what you think about how God works, I'm hoping today after the sermon that you will think a little bit differently about how God works. Because I finally realized that when I take that list and I go out and do what is on that list, that what I'm doing then is I'm doing things by my power and with my energy and with my abilities and my strengths. And then I'm coming back to God and I'm saying, God, I need another list now. For you see, I finished this list. And I found out that's not how it works. And that is so far from the truth. Because when I go out and do things in my own power and with my own energy, I don't really need God. Do I? If I'm doing it with my own power and with my own energy, it's about me. It may have been a God-given list to me, but now it's about me. It's not about God. Because you see, God's got a different kind of power that God wants to bring to me. So let's look at Psalm 29. The Psalms are wonderful, wonderful words that I love to return to time and time again. They have every emotion in there that you could expect that any human would have. And they guide and direct us ever deeper in our relationship. So let's look at Psalm 29. It says, ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory. Do his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon leap like a calf, Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, all cry glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as King forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. This first two verses talk about ascribing to the Lord. Ascribing to the Lord the power, the glory, the energy that God has. We need to acknowledge that God is all-powerful. We need to acknowledge that. There are people in our world that don't. And we need to acknowledge God as the all-powerful. You see, God is able to do the impossible. God is able to do, for Sunday school this morning, the young adults, we were on one of the other lectionary passages, which is a passage about the creation story. And I asked them first off, I said, what hits you the most about the creation story? What stands out the most to you, and what's your favorite part? And one of them said that God just said it, and it happened. God said, let there be, and it happened. As I studied that passage this week in preparation for Sunday school, I never thought about that God said, let it happen. God didn't tell it how to happen. God didn't put God's hands into it and mold it and form it. God said, let it happen. And boom, it happened. There was light there. I mean, that's absolutely incredible, isn't it? We need to ascribe to God the ability for God to do things like that. And we need to recognize that God is the all-powerful. And God has the ability to do that. God said, let the light separate from the dark. And we spent some time in Sunday school. What does it mean that you got to separate the light from the dark? We didn't find an answer. I mean, I thought when you turned a light on, the dark disappeared. Right? That's what happens in my house. But it says that God separated it. Wonder what was involved in that and what happened with that. God has the power and the ability to do incredible things. Absolutely incredible. And we need to acknowledge that God is that powerful. God is that able. God can do anything. We don't need to sell God short on that. Because God can do far past what we think. Far past. I know God did that in my heart. What about yours? The power of God came into my life and changed things in a dynamic way. In this psalm, God's voice is compared to a thunderstorm and its great power. I grew up on the Chesapeake Bay, and I loved looking out over the bay and seeing the storms come across the bay. It's absolutely incredible. I can't tell you that I've ever seen a tornado. Because growing up on the Chesapeake Bay, they're not called tornadoes. They're called waterspouts. And to look out over the bay and to see a waterspout, a tornado over the water, it's even hard to try to understand what kind of power is contained in that storm. I've told people I'd like to see a tornado once. Not up close and personal, a little bit of distance. Because I want to see and I want to understand the power that's in that. I want to understand a little bit better the power that is there. I've seen them out over the bay. I've seen three or four at a time out over the Chesapeake Bay. just lifting water up and bringing it down in great torrents. Absolutely incredible. I remember when I was at Virginia Tech, and I don't even know where I would go, but my last year of Virginia Tech, or actually it was after I graduated and tried to stay here. I was 20, 30, 40 years ahead of my time. God wanted me to come to the mountains, but not when I was ready in 1984. And I would go up on one of the mountains around Blacksburg, and I would sit and watch the thunderstorms. The incredible power of them. And I can just remember looking out over that valley and watching the lightning come down into the valley. Absolutely incredible. And you see, this psalmist tells us this is what God's power is like. It's enormous. It's powerful. It's wonderful. It's not destructive like we see in the thunderstorms quite often. But it's a powerful storm. God's voice speaks that way. I can remember many people telling me when we were in South Hill, some of the older folks, and when I say older, not many of you have made it there yet, okay? I'll tell you, speaking, people in their 90s would tell me that when they were a kid and a thunderstorm would come, they all had to come into the house and they all had to sit down and be quiet. Because God's doing God's work. That's what their parents would tell them. You've got to be quiet during the thunderstorm because God's doing God's work. Now, I don't know what that means. Because I don't believe the thunderstorm to be about God doing God's work. But that's what they were taught and that's what they learned. You had to sit down and you had to be still and you had to be quiet. And maybe it's something about respecting that power and understanding that power and that God has that kind of power in the midst of our world. And you see, that's what the psalmist talks about in this whole psalm, is about God's great, magnificent, and wonderful power. And then I'll give you a chance. But later I would encourage you to take Psalm 29 and count the number of times you see it say, the voice of the Lord. Guess what? It's 7. In this psalm, it says 7 times, the voice of the Lord. A biblical number of completeness, of speaking about the voice of the Lord in its totality and what the voice of the Lord can do. From verses 3 down to verse 9, it talks about the voice of the Lord 7 different times. And then after it talks about these 7 different times, it says, and in his temple all cry glory. When seeing God's power, we should give glory to God. When seeing what God can do, we should give glory to God. When I see somebody's heart change to become as God would want them to be, I should give glory to God. When I see God do miracles in the midst of this world, I should give glory to God. All glory and honor goes to God because it's God who has done it. Who changed my heart? It wasn't me. It was God. Who brought me to Jesus Christ? It was God. God took that step first. And all glory needs to go to God for that. I'm so thankful that God didn't answer my prayer in December of 1980. I think somebody wrote a song about thank God for unanswered prayers. And I'm very, very thankful that God didn't answer my prayer from that month. and that year, because I knelt down in my dorm room next to my bed and I said, God, I don't know why you're bugging me, but go find somebody else to bug. That's an actual prayer that I prayed. And God did not answer that prayer, thank God. All glory belongs to God, because God still was drawing me in as I was trying to push back. And God was drawing me in there and drawing me closer. And the power, the love, the incredibleness, the wonderfulness of God overwhelmed me so that I finally stepped closer to God. Glory goes to God for that. Because I was pushing against it. I was trying to back away from what God was doing in my life. This power is the strength God wants to give us to live the Christian walk. This power that God has is the strength that God wants to give us to live the Christian walk. You see, we don't have to live the Christian walk in our way, in our power, in our strength. We don't have to. Some of you have Philippians 4:13 memorized. What does that say? Don't disappoint me. Who's got it? I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Where does the strength come from? It's not our strength. It's not our energy. We don't get the to-do list and run out and do it and come back to God and say, I done did it. Give me another list. God wants to live that strength through us. This strength that's talked about in this psalm, God wants to live that through us. It says the Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. When you say, I can't walk the Christian way, when God touches your heart to go and talk to your neighbor about Jesus Christ, and you say, I just can't do that, God knows you're right. You can't do it. But if you allow the strength of God into your life, this powerful, enormous strength that's talked about as a thunderstorm in this passage, if you allow that kind of strength into your life from God, you can do it. Because now it's God doing it, not you. God doesn't need a bunch of people that know how to do it in their own power. God needs people that rely upon God's strength to do this. That's what God needs. Because when we do it and when we accomplish it, then we can say, look at what God did, not what I did. Look at what God did. Look at how God changed people's hearts. Look at how God put things together for this to happen. Look at how Paul writes in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. God doesn't want a bunch of wise people. God wants a bunch of failures. That's what God wants. So that when it happens through them by God's strength, then people have the only choice to say, look at what God did. Because I'm not strong enough to do that. I've tried to explain to you that you wouldn't hire Tim Irving to be pastor. You would only hire the person that allows God to work through them to be pastor. Because who I am, you wouldn't hire me. That's not me. What happens is God works in and through me. And when that happens, dynamic things can happen because it's God's power, not mine. It's God working, not me working. So when God comes to you and says, you know that coworker that needs to hear about Jesus Christ? you need to say something. No longer is it fearful for me to go, I can't do that. Because Philippians 4:13 says what? I can do all things through Him, through Jesus Christ, who strengthens me. All things. It doesn't say I can do all things except for, does it? We would love to have that phrase in there, wouldn't we? Lord, I can do all things except for, and let me fill in the blank for you, Lord, so that you're not confused about the things I can't do. That's not what the Scripture says. God wants to put that kind of power that's in the very voice of God into our lives, where God says, let it be. Or, think about one other passage that's also a lectionary text for this week. It comes from the Gospel of Mark, that Jesus is being baptized by John. And Jesus comes up out of the water, and what happens? Tell me, what happens? The Holy Spirit that appeared like a dove comes down, and what else happens? God speaks and says, this is my beloved child in whom I am well pleased. God's voice speaks. In one of the passages where that is spoken about, I don't remember if it's the Mark passage or not, it sounds as though, the way it reads, that God speaks from heaven and only Jesus hears it, not the rest of the crowd. Only Jesus hears, this is my son, in whom I am well pleased. Maybe that's exactly what he needed to hear as he started out his ministry. Maybe that's what we need to hear. You are my daughter. You are my son, in whom I am well pleased. And all God wants to do is pour this strength, this power into us so that then we can live that life. Maybe that's what we need to do, is take some time to hear that and to understand that. Because when we allow God's power within us to live through us, it's then that we have wholeness. It's then that we have wholeness. Now, I have chosen not to use the word peace for a very specific reason. Because the last part of this, verse 11, not only says the Lord gives strength to his people, the Lord blesses his people with peace. And we take that peace to mean so many times in our world, absence of conflict. Absence of bad things going on. That's peace, right? May there be peace upon the earth. No wars. No fighting between folks. The biblical, the Hebrew idea of peace is so much more. That's very limiting when you define it that way. The biblical idea of peace is wholeness, completeness, everything that God wants us to be. That's peace. So that when one Hebrew person greets another and says shalom, that Hebrew word for peace, they mean, this is what they're saying when they greet another person and say shalom, may the wholeness of God be complete in you. That's what it means to greet somebody with the word shalom. That's what the psalm is saying, that God wants that kind of wholeness, that kind of completeness in you. That happens when you allow the power, the strength of God to be in you and live through you, then you have this wholeness. Everybody in this world is searching for wholeness, aren't they? At least that's what I think as I watch people. And they find it many, many different ways, don't they? But they're still searching. Do you want the wholeness that God has planned for you? It's allowing the voice of God, the strength of God, to live in you and through you. So I'm gonna leave you with this question to think about for this week. Will you allow God's power a place in your life? Will you allow God's power a place in your life? Not going out and trying to do godly things in your own power, but will you allow God's power a place in your life so that you can have this incredible strength that the voice of God has to bring wholeness to your life? Let's pray. Lord, we come to you just realizing that sometimes we do try so much to do things our way. Even when you give us something to do, we turn and walk away from you sometimes and go out and try to do those things in our own power. But Lord, the truth is the very voice that spoke things into existence, the voice that shattered the cedars of Lebanon, the voice that cried out and parted the waters, that voice you want to speak deep within us and through us. Please, Lord, help us to let that happen, that we might truly experience the completeness and the wholeness you have for us, and that we might bring that completeness and wholeness to other people in this community. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.